I recording.
I am recording too.
What are we recording?
We're recording a podcast.
It's a musical podcast.
Red Mage.
Blue Mage. Wait.
Blue
no,
Mage.
Red Mage. There we go.
Ba-dum.
We got it right.
Mountain, island, lightning bolt, snow piss, switchblade, stab wound, red mage, blue mage.
All right, let's record a podcast.
Okay, that's what we're doing.
All right. So, this is Red Mage, Blue Mage. I'm Kenny. I play blue.
I'm Amber, and I play red.
Yeah, so it's been a minute or two since we've done specifically a Magic Ketchup Storm segment, which also just means we really haven't talked a lot about Magic we've played in like a month, just the way that recording sessions have worked out.
Yeah, because the last time we actually had a full-on, like, Red Mage, Blue Mage, not an extra turn recording was the last actual play, which in real time was a month ago.
Right. And then in the podcast world was a week ago.
Yes, exactly. That's why we have extra turns.
Yes. So it's a little insight for you guys. But what it means is that we finally get a chance to catch up on Magic. I've forgotten most of the Magic I've played, and I only remember this past weekend vaguely.
I surprisingly, for once, have a fairly decent grasp on my memories.
Okay.
So I could talk about stuff.
In the Magic Ketchup Storm.
Brum, 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 brum. We're playing Magic. Oh my god. So, a thing that I've been doing, or the couple things I've done with Brandon, is we're doing these things called Mini Masters. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, maybe he just saw it on Reddit or something. I don't know. But basically, It's like open up a booster pack and you just have to play with that. You add lands into it. You make like a 30-card deck and you just play with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really fun. It's silly. It's super silly.
You're adding boosters together. Is there like card selection? Do you pick which cards you want to go in?
You just smash them together. Blind. So You just open up one booster pack and you add 15 lands to it and that's your deck.
Gotcha.
And it's pretty stupid. Like, I love it because I love silly stuff like that where I have no idea what's in there and I just gotta work with what I got. Which means a lot of times it's just defenders and useless creatures and maybe... And it's also a fun way to reveal, like, what your rare is, too, while you're playing a game. So
you don't look at the cards before you play?
Not at
all.
Wow. Yeah, just going blind. It's pretty fun. Another thing we've been doing is,
to interrupt real quick, did you open anything cool when you played it?
Not that I can remember off the top of my head, mostly just Shocklands, which are great. Like anytime I see a Shockland, I'm like, yes.
Just money.
Just $10. Yes. But I don't remember because I don't remember cards. Doesn't really matter. Whatever. It wasn't a goblin or an angel.
Irrelevant.
Or an angel. So the other thing we've been doing is we've been trying out, kind of talking about competitive stuff early, kind of sprinkled here and throughout episodes where it's like, I'm kind of interested in competitive stuff and I'm realizing more and more that I just don't have the ability to grind. Like to be competitive, you have to play a lot and I just don't have that kind of focus. So I don't think...
Or the time, necessarily.
Or the time, really. So I probably will never, ever get into the competitive scene. I'll leave that door cracked, but I probably won't. Maybe if
There's all kinds of things that you thought you would never, ever do.
That's true.
That you didn't have time for.
Here I am.
Here we are making a podcast.
But so anyway, maybe if I did Arena, it's just... Hard.
That's true.
Because my Mac and I mean I have boot camp and stuff, but I just haven't sat down yet. Anyway, This all leads to something, which is I will do like events that are like Friday Night Magic or like pre-release stuff, and you know War of the Spark has come out by the time this airs, and so the pre-release event has happened. I unfortunately will not be able to go to it, but Brandon will, and so. We've been practicing Sealed Constructed. So he's never done competitive stuff. I have, and I've done several, I've done three pre-release events, I think. Two or three. Can't remember.
I've never done any.
It's really fun. And so we did do a sealed, constructed a couple nights, I think a couple weekends ago or last weekend. Ah, time is just all muddled. And I'm so used to getting my ass handed to me in any of the decks that Brandon actually constructs.
Right.
Even my really good, in air quotes, modern Goblin Angel deck.
Yeah.
He's pretty good at beating me when he constructs.
Mm-hmm.
But he does not have the experience at doing like a sealed, like he has a time limit to make something in.
Right.
And so I
to be able to take random pieces that you get and assemble them into something, yeah, as opposed to sitting and being able to hand pick the specific cards.
Right. And so it's like I open up a pack, it's like you go through real quick and I'm just like immediately sorting via color, instant, sorcery, creature, and then by mana costs, and it's like, I'm getting duplicates of cards, so I'm like, okay, I'm in an area where I've got, these are the colors where I have duplicates in, okay, I'm gonna do this, and this is where this goes, and all that, and I can build a pretty good constructed, I mean, I don't know how good, but good enough to beat Brandon. How's that?
That's good.
So we did that, and then I've been playing some Commander. I know.
Yes.
Which, in the next episode, you guys will hear my first Commander one-on-one with Kenny.
Yes.
Which went great.
It did go great.
It went.
You guys will see.
Great.
She's making a face at me. It's like a mask of pain.
With two thumbs up. And so now I'm getting into the Commander scene, I suppose, and played a few rounds of Commander now.
You got the itch.
Sure.
So, you've got a Commander deck. That'll be the focus of the second half of this episode.
Yes.
Real briefly, before we get into that,
it's your
my
turn.
Magic Ketchup Storm. I also played some Commander recently. My friend Seth, my high school friend Seth, visited me this past weekend, and we played a lot of games. We played Commander. He's got still has his mono black mana ramp vampires deck. One thing I observed about it, maybe about any Commander deck, is like, it almost doesn't matter what the commander is or like what the strategy is. Like, you sit down and you're like, oh, Seth sits down. He says, I'm going to build this vampire deck and it's going to be sweet. This vampire tribal. I'm really excited about it. And as he builds it, it just turns into the kind of deck that he always plays, that he always wants to play anyway. I remember in high school, his favorite cards were like extra planar lens, like Gauntlet of Power, just anything that would like double your mana supply. He just loved these cards that built these huge mana pools, and then you do something insane with them. Or me, I'm the same way. Like, I sat down to make a Tetsuko Umezawa Fugitive Commander deck, which is all about like small creatures being unblockable and getting in for damage and getting cool bounce effects when you hit players and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it just turned into, as I was adding cards to it, it just turned into Control Magic, Confiscate, Commandeer. It's just all the same cards that I always like to play with anyway.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's like who you are deep down as a Magic player comes through anyway. There's no restraining it. And you, I think it's true in your Commander deck too, which we'll talk about in a second.
Stop getting ahead of us.
I'm teasing it. You know, I'm building up that excitement, that anticipation. You got to have a little verve, a little zest. You got to have a little spice, a little excitement. You know what I mean?
Please talk about the Magic you played.
And so we played Commander. We played a fair amount. We played Plane Chase Commander, which is like a variant. You can add Plane Chase to any Magic that you play.
I don't know what that means.
It's this, they sold these as products, Wizards did. They're these oversized cards that represent the planes that you're warping to as you fight. So they're imagining like you're these planeswalkers having a duel and you're like planeswalking and chasing each other through the planes.
Okay.
And you represent that by flipping over these cards and they have different magical effects based on what plane you're on.
So like a battlefield aura, essentially?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it was inspired by, in high school, I played a game with a bunch of friends and somebody had just a stack of normal magic cards and they were all enchantments, like global effect enchantments.
Yeah.
And it was the same basic idea that just flipped and new effects happened all the time. Sure. And this was like a more like purpose-built version of that. Mm-hmm. It's really fun, adds an extra element of chaos in an already chaotic game. I'm trying to think of what some of the fun planes were that we ran into.
You sent me a picture of one. I can't remember what it was. It was like a white mountainous one. I'm remembering gray and washed out yellow.
I wonder if it was the Aeon Fog. That one is like nothing untaps.
Oh, wow.
Your favorite effect.
Yeah.
I remember there were several that we ran into that only affected like black creatures. And so it was only a benefit to Seth. Mm-hmm. But then I just lucked out and rolled chaos. So the planes, you roll a die to see what happens. Mm-hmm. And chaos is like some great extra effect. And I just kept rolling it. So I just got an army of 2/2 zombies for no reason. It's the best. We also did cube drafts. Just to sum up, same deal as Commander, really, where it's like I try to branch out and do other things, and then I just wind up with a blue-black X control deck at the end of it, either Grixis control or Esper control. It's just,
yeah,
I can't escape it. Okay, but anyway, it was a good time. It was a lot of good games.
Woo.
Good game, Seth. Way to be. You're the best. Love you. Okay, so we've teased it enough. Let's put on our hard hats.
Okay.
Let's go to the construction zone.
Put a hammer in my belt loop.
Construction zone. It's a bone zone. Put your helmet on. The shit is OSHA. Bust out your lotion, son, but keep your clothes on. The shit is wholesome.
All right. We're here and we got our safety goggles on.
Yes.
Let's talk about this commander deck that I bought. And then I am going to dismantle and reconstruct.
Right.
So everybody wants me to play Commander.
It's the best.
And I'm okay with it. It's all right, I guess. It's a little slow for my taste. And there's too much to remember, like having Commander. So I'm trying to think, like, what would be good for me? And I've dabbled in the past. I've played one commander game. I dabbed once.
One dab.
When we played a commander 5v5, or yeah, it was five people, right? Mm-hmm. And you had a red elemental token deck. I think that's the one.
It was a token deck. Yeah.
Yes. And I liked that a lot, and I had an okay time with it because it was kind of chaotic and fun for me.
Yes.
And I understood it more than I do most things.
And it was also sufficiently balls to the wall.
Yeah. I think we talked about it in another episode where it was like I had a card. I don't remember. I don't know if it's another episode. It might be in the next episode because I might have talked about it during our commander game. But anyway. So anyway, I'm trying to figure out what to do, Commander. And I love goblins. And I was like, well, I could just do another Krenko.
Yeah.
Another Krenko.
Krenko Commander.
Krenko Commander. But I'm trying to, like, branch out.
Yes.
And see other
things. You're interested
things.
In, like, proliferation now?
No, not really. Maybe a little bit, but not really. So I was kind of like hunting around, and I like the idea of artifacts. And so I found out that there is a pre-constructed in 2014, there was a Goblin Planeswalker who had a commander deck, and it was the built from scratch commander deck. And so the commander for that deck is Duretti Scrap Savant. He's a 3 and a red. And he is a planeswalker, which I didn't realize that you could not have planeswalkers as legendary creatures unless it specifically says you can use this planeswalker as a commander. So his plus two.
Although there's kind of a debate about that going on right now. But yeah.
About what specifically?
Basically, there are a lot of people who are clamoring for just let all planeswalkers be commanders. And then other people are responding with, well, there are these rules that we've set down, and opening that up would completely throw this format into chaos.
I could see it, because commanders are really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yes.
So Duretti, his plus two is discard up to two cards, then draw that many cards. His minus two is sacrifice an artifact. If you do, return target artifact card from your graveyard to the battlefield. Amazing.
Which is huge.
And his minus 10, his ultimate, is you get an emblem with whenever an artifact is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, return that card to the battlefield at the beginning of the next end step.
So your artifacts just always come back.
Right. And I can see why people would not want planeswalkers, because if you can ever get your ultimate off, it's just a win game. Depending on the artifacts that are in the deck, that emblem would be disgusting.
Oh yeah, this is one of those. It doesn't say you win the game, but it might as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it falls in the same category as a few of them, where forget who has this as their emblem, but it's whenever a card would be put into your graveyard, you just put it back in your hand, or Vincer, his emblem. Whenever you cast a spell, exile a permanent. Yeah. It's just fancier ways of saying you win.
Yeah. So I've played with him about three times now. Deck just right out of the box. No alterations or anything yet to get a mm-hmm. feel for it. Because, yeah, I don't know how it was going to play.
Sure.
It's hilarious. It's funny. It really bothered me playing it because it's slow and there's no like it's turn 6-7 and I haven't done damage yet to anything other than another person's commander or planeswalker or their creatures. Like, I haven't done anything.
I haven't put a dent in anybody's life
total yet.
It's just
complete removal of battlefield stuff. And so I'm not doing any actual damage. So it feels like I'm not doing anything. When in fact, I'm doing a lot of crazy shit. It's hilarious. Because one of my favorite cards in here is a sorcery called Scrap Mastery. Which is funny because we talked maybe early on. I think it was the favorite cards or cards that represent you. And you said Warp World. And it has a very like Warp Worldy feel it. Where basically it's so Scrap Mastery is three and red. It's a sorcery. Each player exiles all artifacts from their graveyard, then sacrifices all artifacts they control, then puts all cards they exile this way onto the battlefield. So
everybody just swaps their battlefield and graveyard of artifacts.
Yes. Yeah, their own. So on their own battlefield.
Yes. Yes.
So I like it because his plus two is amazing. I can just discard artifacts and I can be trying really hard to hopefully in this 100 card or 99 card deck get Scrap Mastery again.
Totally.
To make it so I have one artifact creature out there and I just get 20 artifacts on the field all of a sudden that all, most of them have entered battlefield effects, which is fantastic.
Right. It makes Duretti's plus two, like, it's like all upside. Like, draw two, discard two is not that good. But if you want to discard cards, this is like almost better than drawing two.
Yeah. And I personally don't like meta game stuff where it's like I'm playing from the graveyard now and I'm trying to do all this. What did I say? Flim flammery. Or that's something I'll say later on. Because we're doing the time, Kenny. You're messing with my head.
You're ruining the timeline. Yeah. I think you've said flim flammery. Okay. Because that was in the War of the Spark thing.
Okay. Good. So it's a lot of flim flammery that I can't handle sometimes. But I'm kind of enjoying it because it's. I think it has to be funny to me. I think it has to have
what you're doing in the game.
Yeah. Especially
that's really is the spirit of Commander. It's supposed to be wacky and over the top and haymaker
And I really like that this is like a trash goblin deck.
Yes.
So the fact that there's goblins in it, and they're like, there's another card in here that I really like. Let me see. It's creature. So my other favorite card is Goblin Welder.
Yes.
One red. Creature, Goblin Artificer. He's 1/1. You tap him, and you can choose target artifact a player controls and target artifact card in that player's graveyard. If both targets are still legal as this ability resolves, that player simultaneously sacrifices the artifact and returns the artifact card to the battlefield. Now, I had a hard time understanding this at first, but the flavor text was what helped me when it was like, I wrecked your metal guy, boss. Look, I made you an ashtray. And it's like, that's perfect. Because, like, first off, I could do this to another player. So I can make them swap out their good artifact for a shit artifact.
Right. Some piece of shit they sacrificed early on.
Or I could do it to myself, where I could, which is what I want to do, is trade an artifact creature for an actual good artifact.
Right. Another instance of Duretti's ability, his return to the battlefield ability.
Yeah, and the -2 is great, his ability, because I can sacrifice an artifact, put it in the graveyard, and bring it back. So I've been doing that with, I believe that's how that works. That's how I've been playing it. I could be wrong, but basically it's like, I wanted to make sure that when
you can.
Okay, so I've been using it to cycle Wyrmcoil Engine.
It's also very good.
So I did that a couple times with that. So I'm liking this deck as it is in general.
Sure. What are some of the like shortcomings or things that you aren't entirely happy about?
So I'm happy that Duretti does cost so little. He's only 4. But he's a planeswalker and also very vulnerable.
Yes.
So unless I have creatures out there to help block, but I can't really do anything with instants or sorceries, really, unless I have an artifact or something. I don't know what could help with that, but he's just very, very vulnerable.
Yeah.
So I have, in 3 games, I have not been able to get him past 6. And usually he comes in as just like a quick, like, I need to discard or I need to...
-2.
I need a cycle and artifact, and that's it. And so I haven't really got to see that happen, which, I mean, I'm assuming it's not, it's probably never going to really happen that often, but it'd be nice to be able to do that.
Sure. The concern's still real, where it's like, he's just not living very long, and he's kind of the whole point of the deck.
Yeah. And the thing is, I can't equip anything to him, so it's like, I can't do anything really to protect him other than using creatures.
Right.
And counter spells, which I don't have that.
Right.
So that's the thing. So I'm thinking of switching out some of the creatures with like Cranko and some other goblins to help with that.
To sort of clog up the ground and get your attack on.
Yeah, and so and then same with sorceries. I'll probably like put Hordling Outburst and Cranko's Command in there to help get these tokens out there. Because there's some really good ones in here for like the mirrors. They've got some good token abilities. But so the deck is 26 as it stands is 26 creatures, 20 artifacts, only 1 enchantment, which I don't like the enchantment, which is Bitter Feud.
I don't even know what this is.
It's basically if I'm in a multiplayer game, I can be like, we are only battling. And when we're battling, we're doing double damage to each other.
Or you can use it on 2 opponents and not yourself.
True, true.
Although that makes you kind of a political enemy.
Yeah.
Where they're both like, fuck that guy.
Yeah, let's kill him. And the enchantment goes away. So yeah, 1 enchantment, then 5 sorceries, 6 instances, and 41 lands.
So very spell light.
It is very spell light and very creature heavy. And I think I'm going to swap that. I think I'm going to make it so it's more sorcery instance, either producing tokens and burn. And so it's aggro. I'm going to try and make it more aggressive.
Which is something you and I talked about anyway, previously. You and I have talked about how it would be cool to make a commander deck for you that's really in your play style, where it is more aggressive. It is more like, I want some action.
Right. There is one creature that I really liked. It's a wizard, I think.
In the pre-constructed one?
Yeah.
A wizard. No, a wizard's kiss. Dual caster mage?
No. He's an artificer. Felden of the Third Path. He is a legendary creature, human artificer, 1 red. And he's 2/3. But what makes him great is his tap ability that you have to pay 2 and a red for. And it's create a token that's a copy of target creature card in your graveyard, except as an artifact in addition to its other types, it gains haste. Sacrifice it at the beginning of the next end step. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
And great for when I'm discarding tons of artifact creatures that have enter the battlefield effects.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And leave the battlefield effects.
Oh, yeah.
Like your Wyrmcoil Engine, for example.
Yeah.
Or your Mirror Battle Ball. That's in here, right? Battlesphere?
Yes. Which is, I would keep this one in there. I didn't get it in play. But when, so Mirror Battlesphere costs 7, artifact creature, who's a 4/7. When Mirror Battlesphere enters the battlefield, create 4/1/1 colorless Mirror artifact creature tokens. Whenever Mirror Battlesphere attacks, you may tap X untapped mirror you control. If you do, Mirror Battlesphere gets +X/+0 until end of turn and deals X damage to the player or planeswalker it's attacking. Beautiful.
The Battle Ball.
X untapped mirror you control. Not just my tokens, but any mirror that I've got out there.
Which actually reminds me. So I've been looking through this list and thinking about things that I might introduce. And there's a card that's not in the deck that it kind of puzzles me why it's not in the deck.
Okay.
And it's Iron Mirror.
Okay, let me look it up. Oh, yeah, Iron Mirror.
Iron Mirror. 2 colorless mana. 1/1. It's a mirror. Tap. Add a red mana.
So I could tap it and get a mana, and also it counts towards X. Is that how that works? Or is if I tap it for that thing, it doesn't have its tap ability because I'm tapping it for something else.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
But then the nice thing about it is that it's in your color. It adds mana, accelerates you forward. It works with the battle sphere. It's a nice sacrifice target for your various I want to sacrifice artifacts. So it's great early in the game because it ramps you up, and it's great late in the game because you can throw it in the garbage and get something awesome.
I'm starting to look through
my other recommendations.
And there's a card in here that I'm never going to put in any deck.
What is it?
You know what it is. You're grinning because you know what it is.
I don't necessarily. Let me look. Hold on. I'm looking.
You know, because I messaged you about it.
Oh, never mind. Yeah, I do know. Mindslaver.
Why did you even suggest it to me? I'm never going to put Mindslaver in a deck of mine. It's gross. I don't play like that. I don't play dirty like you.
Not yet.
I'll never be like you.
I'll never be like you. Now let me draft my Proliferate deck and War of the Spark.
Shut up. I have no choice. I don't have a choice in the matter. Wizard said, you don't like Proliferate? Too bad. You have to do it.
That's what I said when I was young like you. That's what
anyway,
I said.
Anyway, the reason why I'm disgusted by Mindslaver, for those of you who don't know what it is, it costs 6. It's a legendary artifact. Cost 4. Tap ability is sacrifice Mindslaver. You control target player during that player's next turn.
You know what the baller thing is? Because you sacrifice it as part of it, you can get it back with your other effects.
I know. Basically, it's if I got that emblem, the game is over.
Yeah.
With Mindslaver in my graveyard.
That's true in a 1v1. You basically GG if you've got Mindslaver out.
Yeah.
In a group setting, it's a little bit different, but...
Yeah. That's
you won't make any friends playing that. That's definitely true.
No, and I like having friends.
Would that I knew.
So I already have Darksteel Forge in my TCG player cart. So that's a thing that I will definitely want.
So that's just a big expensive artifact that makes all your artifacts indestructible, which obviously is sweet.
Yes. I'm looking through. Well, of course I'm looking at the Goblin Tinkerer, Slowbad.
Yes.
It's a one and a red. It's a legendary creature, goblin, artificer. Sacrifice an artifact. Target artifact gains indestructible until end of turn.
Yep. Help protect your big, big artifacts.
Yep. I like chain reaction, especially with the choice of what I'm going to be doing with my tokens, adding more to the battlefield. So chain reaction is two red, red sorcery. Chain reaction deals X damage to each creature, where X is the number of creatures on the battlefield.
I know you're talking about one to protect your planeswalker, so this just clears everything out. It's important to have board sweepers in Commander.
I actually have Servo schematic, so at home I've got like a stack of cards I have off to the side, but I haven't really like done anything with them yet, but it's just like trying to figure out what I'm going to swap out. It's really difficult.
Right. I think it feels like the cards that this deck wants the most are artifacts that have effects when they come in and when they go out.
Yes.
Because you're just doing that all the time.
Yeah, which is what Servo Schematic is. It only costs two. When Servo Schematic enters the battlefield or is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, create a 1/1 color Servo artifact creature token. So this is one I would cycle with Duretti's negative two.
And it itself is an artifact, importantly.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I figured you would like Combustible Gear Hulk.
I haven't looked at that yet, but the one I'm ooing about.
Okay, go ahead.
Is Hazoret's Monument. Anything that I have that can make me things cost less is great. So this costs three legendary artifact. Red creature spells you cast cost one less to cast. And whenever you cast a creature spell, you may discard a card. If you do, draw a card.
So this is doing, I feel like, everything you want to do.
Yes!
Okay, what were you saying now?
On the other page, Combustible Gear Hulk. This is four red for an artifact creature construct, a 6/6 first striker.
Oh, damn.
When it enters the battlefield, target opponent may have you draw three cards. If the player doesn't, put the top three cards in your library, she's going nuts, in your graveyard. Then Combustible Gear Hulk deals damage to that player equal to the total converted mana cost of those cards. So yes. This is a giant red artifact with what's the card called that
Risk
you love
factor.
So much? Risk Factor built into it.
Yeah, Risk Factor.
So I thought for sure this is like a shoe-in to be in the
deck.
Oh,
yeah, that's why I'm all pumping my arms over here. Getting sweaty from all the excitement.
I'm thrilled to death that I'm suggesting some cards that you are going to put
It's like you finally are listening to me and understanding the true me, so you know what to actually recommend to me.
The next episode, there's a part where you forget everything I've ever said to this podcast.
Wait, what?
Never mind.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Never mind. I'll tell you when you're older.
I'm never going to get older.
You're delusional.
Or immortal. Okay. You tell me.
Delusional.
Nope.
What else is good in here? I feel like Smuggler's Copter is a card that you would want to put in here.
It's okay. I'm looking at it.
Okay. This is two colorless mana for an artifact vehicle, a 3/3 flyer. Whenever it attacks or blocks, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. So this is an aggressively costed draw card, discard a card, which is what you really want to do. It's a vehicle, so it has a crew cost. You just need one power on the battlefield to pilot it.
Gotcha.
So this is like aggressive. It like fuels your engines. I think it does what you want. And sitting right next to it, one thing that when I was looking through the original deck list, the original deck list doesn't have a ton of like exciting, big, expensive artifacts to hit. And when I saw this one, I was like, this is the most amber artifact I can imagine. She's taking a face. it's an O face.
It's an oh my god face.
Seven mana for a legendary artifact, a Chroma's Memorial. Creatures you control have flying. First strike, vigilance, trample, haste, protection from black and from red. Yeah.
I look like the Scream.
Yeah.
Oh.
But in a good way.
Nope. I can make the exact face.
All right, let me see. That's not it.
It's pretty close.
Oh, man. I'm nailing it. I'm really nailing it down today.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the copter.
Well, that's okay. I thought the big reason I liked that was because it was really aggressive.
Yeah.
2-mana 3/3 flyer I thought would be up your alley. But yeah. I get that. Something else. on the same page. Molten Tail Masticore. Four colorless mana for an artifact creature Masticore, a 4/4. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice it unless you discard a card, which you want to discard cards. And then it also has four mana. Exile a creature card from your graveyard. It deals four damage to a creature or player. And two mana, you can regenerate it. So it's like a discard outlet. It burns players. It kills creatures. It protects Duretti.
Maybe. I don't know how I feel about it.
What's the problem with it?
It's
too expensive?
Too much text.
I get it.
No, it's not that. I don't know. It just like it doesn't have the same like. I don't know. I'm not getting. I get it, but I'm not like. I don't like get it.
Not the same pizzazz.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Also, I don't like having options.
Yeah, it really does give you a lot to keep track of.
There's a card in the deck, as it is. What is it called?
What does it do?
It's like makes goats.
What? Oh, that's the trader's thing, trading post.
Yeah, so there's a card I'm probably going to swap out from this deck, because I don't really like it. It's trading post, cost four, artifact, pay one, tap, discard a card, you gain four life. That's nice. Pay one, tap, pay one life, create 0/1 white goat creature token, which, I mean, I don't know. I just don't, even though it's got good stuff, like, I just don't feel...
It's not like a scrap mastery where you're like, hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, okay, cool. It's got all these options. And I don't know. There's not a good like draw feeling to it. I'm not excited about it. Even though it does have really good things on it. And I probably shouldn't get rid of it. But
no, I think you should. Because I think Commander especially, it's so much about self-expression. It's about playing the game how you want to play it. Like more than any other format.
Sure.
Like where in Constructed, like you kind of have to go down the path of the meta. Or just be comfortable losing all the time.
Yeah.
Like, this is a format where it embraces the weird and the wacky and what you want to do in the game.
Right. Which is why I like Goblin Lore.
Did I recommend that?
Yep, you did. It's in this document.
I'm so smart.
One and a red. Sorcery. Draw four cards and discard three cards at random.
Random. That's awesome. It's
got goblins.
Whatever. I like the art there, too.
Yeah, that's good.
See, and then Cathartic Reunion does almost the same thing, but I bet you're less likely to play it because there are no goblins on it.
There are no goblins on it, and they're too happy hugging each other. There's no room for love and magic. Are you kidding me?
What do you think of... I'm going to skip this dragon because I know you don't care about dragons.
Nope, fuck dragons.
What about Vanquisher's Banner? 5 mana for an artifact. As it enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Creatures you control of the chosen type get +1/+1. And when you play a creature spell of the chosen type, draw a card.
Yes! Goblins!
So that's like a nice replacement for the trading post, I feel like.
I think so.
Similar cost, has a lot of effects, but it does more what you want to do.
Yeah. I don't want a goat.
I want a goblin.
If it said goblin, I'd be okay with it.
Pay a life, put a goblin into play.
Hell yeah. Well, I got a lot of work to do on this Commander deck. I don't know when I'll ever be done with it.
It'll be a continuing work it'll be your magnum opus. It'll be your Magna Carta.
It'll be my magnum ice cream bar. I want an ice cream bar really bad.
Well, let's go get some ice cream.
Okay, great. Let's go.
All right.
Do you hear that, Kenny? It's the ice cream man. Let's go chase him down the street. All
right. Let's yell at her where you can find us as we leave.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go get a sweet dilly bar because it's a Dairy Queen branded ice cream truck. But you can find me on Twitter at RockinOrco. Bye.
You can find me at Wolfmere, and you can find us both at Red Mage. Blue Mage, at Geekspective, at Twitter, at RMBM, at Blue Mage.
You can also find us in an ice cream truck in your neighborhood.
Come into a neighborhood near you. Goodbye.
Bye.
That was the dumbest thing ever.